Devei Torah should be the Nishmas, three people who have Yahrzeit, Jenny Glasser, Rachel Sheinfeld, and Leo Mandel. All their Yahrzeits are on Chaf Ches B'Tammuz, which is the beginning. And their Neshamas should have a tremendous Aliyah in Shamayim. We are continuing a little bit in the Halachos of Hilchos Avelos. They should all be the Schus Refuah, Rabbi Feiner's. We just said Tehillim for Rabbi Feiner's son, who is in the hospital. He had to come back from camp to be with his son. So this should also be his chus for his refuah shleima. So we're going to discuss just a little bit for a few minutes about Hilchos Aninus, which is the next thing which shows up in Shulchan Aruch after Hilchos Bikur Cholim. We generally hear about the term Aninus, and we think about that which we pater a person from doing any mitzvahs. That's not what an onen shel Torah really means. Min HaTorah, the concept of onen, where do we have it? In Vidya Meiser, we say, Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu, right? So that means that I did not eat Meiser Sheni when I was in a state of Aninus. What is Aninus according to the Torah? So all Aninus means is that a person who loses a close relative, that first day that he loses the relative, he's not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni, he's not allowed to eat Kachim, and he's not allowed to eat Pikurim. So that is all. As far as the Torah is concerned, that's all the category of Onin means. However, Midrabanan, they made a Dindrabanan, that an Onin is extended. That the whole time that the mace is not yet buried, we have a new concept of Aninus, which means not only is he Aser Min HaTorah to eat Chuma and to eat Kachim and to eat Bikurim, he's also not allowed to do any sort of mitzvahs. But that is only a din midrabanan. The question that the Beis Yosef raises in Hilchos Avelos is, how were the Chachamim able to, what right did they have to tell me when I have 613 mitzvahs that I'm mechuyev to be mekayim, and every single day there are a certain nice number of them that come up, so how can they come along and tell me that I all of a sudden I'm not mechuyev to do the mitzvahs? So the Beis Yosef says that we know the famous Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Tzadi, which tells us, Yesh koach biyad Chachamim lakar davar min haTorah, provided that it's B'sheva al tasit, provided that when the Chacham tell me to violate a din min haTorah, they're not telling me to actively violate anything, they're just telling me to be passive. So the Chachamim do have a right to say such a halacha. They do have a right to tell me that I don't have to do one of the mitzvahs in the Torah as long as I'm not an active violation, I'm only a passive violator. There's an interesting Taz who qualifies this statement in the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadi. The Taz is found actually in three different places in Shulchan Aruch. First place the Taz comes up is in Aruch Chaim Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, when we discuss Hilchos Shofar. So the Taz points out, why didn't we make a takana that a person, a dinder rabbanan, that we're never allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Why? Because we know that there's an Isser of Hashmas Kol on Shabbos and Yantiv. There's an Isser der rabbanan, right? We're not allowed to play any instruments. So maybe we should make a gzeirah midrabanan and knock out the whole mitzvah of shofar. No? Good question. Oh, you're right. So why can't the Chacham do it? Who's talking? What? Right, so you are correct. Just the way he phrases it, it's exactly what you're saying, but he phrased it a little differently. He says, from here you see a rule, that when the Chacham have a right to get rid of a mitzvah, it doesn't mean to throw out a mitzvah in Gansan, like you're saying. All it means is they don't have a right to say something which is connected davar hamafurish bekra lehatera. That's the way he says it. Over here, the Torah told me blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah means the Torah was smarter than I am. The Torah wasn't worried about Hashma's call. So therefore, according to the Torah rules, I'm allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The Chacham have no right to tell me to do against what the Torah says beferish is mutter. That's example number one that the Taz gives. Example number two that he gives is in the beginning of Chelek Beis Yaradeya, where the Taz is discussing Schorah b'machalas asuras. Am I allowed to do business with food that I'm not allowed to eat? So it's a whole discussion whether it's an Issa d'Araisa or an Issa d'Rabbanon to do business with food that I'm not allowed to eat. There's a whole tshuva in the Sri De'esh who quotes all the Achronim whether it's d'Araisa d'Rabbanon. But the bottom line is, the Shulchan Aruch says, I'm allowed to do Schorah, I'm allowed to do business with Chelev. Why? Even though I'm not allowed to eat Chelev, why am I allowed to do business? Says the Taz, because the Pasuk tells me, b'chelev yei asa l'chol malacha, I'm allowed to use the chelev for any purpose that I might need it. So therefore, the Taz concludes that since over there the Torah told me, b'feirish, use the chelev as much as you want, do whatever you want, the Chacham have no right to get rid of that din that the Torah said, b'feirish is mutter. The third example is found in the Me'iri. It's actually in one of the Rishonim. The Me'iri, in the beginning of Megillah, goes through six different reasons why is it that the Chachamim didn't make an Isser of doing a bris milah on Shabbos. right? I should say, we have gzeira by many other halachas. Let's say, shaking lulav on sukkos, right? So when sukkos falls out on Shabbos, so we say we have gzeira shema yavirena b'Shabbos, correct? So that's why we don't take the lulav and esrog on Shabbos. So the question is, why don't we make gzeira by mila? We know if the seventh day falls out on Shabbos, I'm sorry, eighth day falls out on Shabbos, make sure you're awake. So if the eighth day falls out on Shabbos, so obviously we do a bris mila, as long as there's no other complications about. So why is it, ask the Meiri, that we didn't make gzeira midrabanan that shema yavirena? We should be concerned, maybe you're going to carry the knife in a rishus harabim, and you're going to be over an iser daraisa of havar rishus harabim, says the Taz, because the pasuk tells me straight out, Bayom hashmini ba'afilu b'Shabbos. The pasuk says, you are allowed to do a bismila even on Shabbos. So whenever I have a case, wherever I have an example, that the Torah tells me specifically, I'm allowed to do this on Shabbos, or I'm allowed to do this type of malacha, so then the chacham do not have a right to make a takana against a mefurish akra, a mefurish pasuk, which says that it's mutter. So those are some of the examples. It's just a little provision in this din. Again, the Beis Yosef said over here, how did the chacham have a right to tell me that an onen doesn't have to do any mitzvahs, he's allowed to go a whole day without making brachos and without doing anything, without putting on tefillin? How's he allowed to do that? Says the Beis Yosef, because yesh koach biyad chachamim lakar davar min haTorah. The chacham have the right to uproot a din min haTorah, provided that it's b'shev v'altasa, provided that it's done in a passive way and not in an active type of way. So in Yeridayan Simon Shin Mem Aleph, we are told that what is the definition of an onin? An onin means not only if I live in the city and I'm sitting there taking care of the kfura, but even if Rahman al-Atsan I happen to live in America and the Mesa is in Eretz Yisrael, I'm still considered an onin until the Levaya goes through. That's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. There is another halacha found in Shulchan Aruch that an onin is chayiv in mitzvahs once the body is nimsar hameis l'ksafim. Once you give over the body to the Chevra Kadisha, and no longer are you involved in the planning of the kvur, the planning of the levaya, so then we assume that a person is now chayiv in mitzvahs. So everyone's going to ask here, what do you mean?
That happens immediately,
right? The family never deals with the details of the tahara and the whole kvura. The Chevra Kadisha, the big tzaddikim who are on the Chevra Kadisha, are the ones who always take care of it. So why? What exactly does this mean? So in fact, the Pischa Tshuva quotes the Chachmas Adam in Klal Kufnun Gimel, where the Chachmas Adam writes, he doesn't understand nowadays why anyone patters themselves from doing mitzvahs. Nowadays, we don't do anything. Nowadays, Rahman al-Islam, when it comes up, the first person to call is Fred Shulman or whoever it is, and right away the mace is taken care of and we don't have to do a thing. So why should we ever patter ourselves from mitzvahs whenever there's a situation of a mace who dies in the family? So that's the Chachmas Adam says, and he's very upset about all the communities, which is all of our communities that we're familiar with, why they're makel, why do they not do any mitzvahs when they happen to lose a relative. However, the Pischa Tshuva there quotes from the Noda B'Yehuda that this is incorrect. Why? The Noda B'Yehuda says, what does it mean when the Gemara tells us that once the mace is nimsa l'ksafim, once it's given over to those who carry it on their shoulders? That's what it means, nimsa l'ksafim. So what does that mean? It means we were dealing with the mace until a certain point, and then we can't travel to the whole base HaKvaras, we can't go. They didn't have such easy means of travel then. So they would go till the Shaarei HaIr, the family would be malava the mace until the Shaarei HaIr, and then, when they had nothing more to do, so they would give over the mace, and the final stages of the kvura would be done by the Chevra Kadisha. So that's when we say that a person is pater. But the Noda B'Yehuda says, nowadays, when you give over the mace right away, but we're still making the arrangements for the Levaya, we're still writing Hespedim, right? We're still calling people and notifying them, we're still setting up the Shiva house, we're doing everything we need to do. So therefore, says the Noda B'Yehuda, we would still consider ourselves pater min ha-mitzvahs, even though we give it over to the Chevra Kadisha, and they take care of most of the Inyanei HaKvura. So the Noda B'Yehuda comes out that until the mace is buried, we would assume that we are considered onanim, and that would pater us from doing any mitzvahs. Obviously, this would be the case nowadays. We have such tremendous lines of communication. We're sending out emails, we're writing hespedim, we're calling people, we're setting up communications. If you ever saw people who are involved in preparing a kvur or a levaya, there's obviously a lot to be done, even if you're not doing the actual touching of the mace. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, which is the following. Very often, our midig nowadays, for many families who can afford it, is that they like to bury the mace in Eretz Yisrael. If you happen to be from that family, and that family loses a relative, so what would be the halacha if the onen stays here, and the body is now flying to Eretz Yisrael? Or what would you say if the onin is flying along with the body? Let's say, for argument's sake, the child of the mace is flying along with the mace to Eretz Yisrael. So what would you say? He can't do anything on the plane. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that up until he gets on the plane, he's pater from mitzvahs. While he's on the 10-hour flight, he's chayv to make brachos, he's chayv to put on tefillin, he's chayv to do everything. Because while he's on the flight, there's nothing to do. The mace is on the bottom, and you can't do anything for the tzarchei akvura. Once he gets off the plane, and now he's getting involved again, so then we say he's pater min ha-mitzvahs. So you're saying, well, it's wild, right? How could it be? So that's Rav Shlomo Zalman's chiddush. Not only that, Rav Shlomo Zalman also writes that when it comes to an onen, and he's been working the whole day to try to work out all the details for the kvura, and then the kvura is only going to be tomorrow morning, or the levaya is only going to be tomorrow morning, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, when he finally gets home and he goes to sleep, he should say Kriya Shema Lamita. Why? Because 3 minutes before he goes to bed, there's nothing left for him to do anymore for the levaya. So Rav Shlomo Zalman feels that once he's so dead tired and he's going to sleep, he should say Kriya Shema Lamita. He's not going to be pater from that, which is a whopper of a chiddush. And I wouldn't believe it if I didn't hear it with my own ears, but the Nishmas Avram, Dr. Abraham, who was known to be the very close doctor of Rav Shlomo Zalman and his wife, actually sent my friend an email. We correspond with him a lot. So Dr. Abraham actually sent us an email that he was in the hospital with Rav Shlomo Zalman when his wife passed away, and he actually was in the taxi with him when they came home that night. And Rav Shlomo Zalman told him in the taxi that he plans to say Kriya Shema Lamita at night because he feels that he has nothing more to do once he goes to sleep, so he has nothing more that he can possibly do for the mace, and therefore he would be chayv. This is a very questionable psak. My father said many achronim disagree with Rav Shlomo Zalman's chiddush. How can you say that you're chayv to say Kriya Shema Lamita? What do you mean? All your waking hours, you're busy thinking about what you're going to say at the hesped, or who else you have to call, or writing down notes of what you need to do. So it's a little bit shver to assume that you're allowed to say Kriya Shema Lamita at night. In the Emes LeYaakov, which is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Ha'aris on Shulchan Aruch, so he has Emes LeYaakov on Chumash. He also has a lesser known sefer, which is Emes LeYaakov on Shulchan Aruch. So he writes there that he disagrees with this psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he feels that a person who's on a flight, once you're an onin, you're an onin till the kvur. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky felt that you can't say that a person, once he goes on the flight, you're going to say he's chayv in mitzvahs for 10 hours. So it doesn't make any sense. Once you're putter, then we say you're putter until the kvura. So therefore, once the mace has died, and once you're busy with the kvura, and you're busy with the levaya, you're busy making the espedim, so you're not going to become chayv anymore. My father said he tells people that all the time, and therefore he assumes that even while you're on the flight, you are not going to be chayv. My father also added that when it comes to Friday afternoon, let's say, there are a lot who say that Friday afternoon, listen, 3 minutes before Shabbos, when you're ready in shul, right, in onin, let's say he loses a parent on Friday, and the levaya is not going to be till Matzah Shabbos or Sunday. So he gets dressed for Shabbos. On Shabbos we know there's no aninus. So he gets dressed for Shabbos, and we know some people say that you should come to shul and daven mincha. Why? Because it's 3 minutes before Shabbos and there's nothing more you're going to do. So my father said no, because until the last minute before Shabbos you're still thinking about the mace, you're still involved in the tzarchei akvura, and therefore you should not even daven mincha on Erev Shabbos. The only thing you should begin to do is once they're mekabel Shabbos, then you're allowed to daven in shul and be like everybody else. We will continue with some of these halachos tomorrow night. Mirzah Hashem.